Tonight, I have a real simple message. The title of it is Don't Get Over It. Don't Get Over It. I'm going to start with a series of questions that I want you to think about. Why is it that some people can work at a job for years and years and years and enjoy every day of their work life? They hardly ever miss a day because they enjoy their work so much, and they're very, very grateful for the job that they have. And on the other hand, there are people that might work at that same job that hate every minute that they have to work, that miss all the time that they can get by with and keep their job, and are not grateful at all for that job. What makes the difference between those two people? Why is it that one couple can stay married for 50, 60 years, and it seems like they're still on their honeymoon, and the divorce rate for others is over 60-65%, I think the last number I read. What makes the difference between those that stay together and those that split? Why can we have testimony time? And I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, I know, tonight. But you know what? Here's what I was thinking. I mean, when we have testimony time, you ought to make me cut it off. I mean, there ought to be so many people that want to testify that I look at the clock and say, okay, that's it for tonight. If you didn't get a chance to testify tonight, you'll get a chance next week. But why is it that it seems like the same people over and over share their, and by the way, I'm not complaining, I love it. I love when the redeemed of the Lord say so. But my point is tonight, why is it that some people are so anxious to share their testimony and others are not? Why can we sing? I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. And only a few people smile, nod their heads, and others look like their cat died that morning. Threw that in there for you, Judy. Why can we sing Amazing Grace? Like Michael just sang. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And you look around, you see a tear come into the eye of some, and others just sit there, and it doesn't seem like it makes any difference at all. Why can a preacher make a good point? And every now and then, a preacher can make a good point. I mean, even a blind pig finds an acorn now and then, so... Now, why is it that a preacher can make a good point and one or two people say amen and everybody else just sits there quiet? Just sits there quiet. Here's the answer to all those whys. Here's the answer to that makes the difference between those two groups of people that I talked about. There are some people that got over what they have. And there are other people that have never gotten over it. And so tonight, I want to encourage you to be in that second group. I want you to be a group of people that don't get over what God has given us. I have 3 points tonight, and I know it's already 6:45, and I know most of you are tired, so I'm going to be quick tonight, but I have 3 points tonight. Number one, don't get over getting saved. Just don't get over your salvation. Don't get over the fact that you have been redeemed, that you have plunged into that fountain filled with blood. Don't get over that you are a child of God. You know, sin's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. The penalty of sin is even worse than sin itself. There's nothing that man can do to take care of the sin problem that all of us have. Michael read those verses from Ephesians chapter 2. It's for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And there was nothing that we could do to take care of the sin problem that we had, the sin problem that separated us from God. And what we couldn't do for ourselves, God did for us. We celebrated it not only this morning, we celebrated every week around here. what we couldn't do for ourselves, God did for us when he sent his only begotten son, the sinless, perfect Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary in our place. And when we come to him and when we receive what he did for us on Calvary, our sin problem is taken care of. Our sin is washed away. It's washed. I don't know why you guys all say it wrong. But our sin is washed. Amen, B. That's the way we say it. Our sin is washed away. We are justified before God. We are no longer dressed in our righteousness. We are dressed in the righteousness of Christ. I mean, God gave us a cure for our sin problem when he sent Jesus to die for us. That verse in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God made it so simple that even the kids could understand what they need to do to get saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No longer are we under the condemnation of sin. We are dressed in his righteousness. No longer are we headed for hell. Our destination is heaven. No longer are we facing eternal death. When we receive Christ, we get eternal life that very moment. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to start eternal life. We get it when we say yes to Jesus Christ. Remember with me tonight. Remember when you first met the Savior. Remember when you first understood that you were a sinner and somebody explained to you, took the Bible or a tract or maybe it was the wordless book and explained to you that your sin separated you from God. And they told you about Jesus. And you understood that you were a sinner. And you understood the only thing that you had to do was receive what Christ purchased for us on Calvary. And you bowed your head and you asked Jesus to be your Savior. You remember how it felt? And I know feeling is not necessary for a person to get saved, but when a person gets saved, they ought to feel something. Amen. I mean, they were lost and now they're found. They were headed for hell. Now they're headed for heaven. They were under the condemnation of sin and now they stand before God justified. But you remember how it felt? You remember how excited you were? You remember how grateful you were to God? You remember you wanted to tell everybody that you saw? Hey, I got saved. I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Amen. You know, we've been saved for a while. And somebody asked us, are you saved? Yeah. Your sins forgiven? Uh-huh. You going to heaven? Yep. You tell anybody? Well, when they ask me, I tell them. What happened? You got over being saved. You got over being saved. My encouragement tonight is don't get over it. Just don't get over it. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jesus said, hey, don't go around as a Christian and rejoice because all these evil spirits flee at your command. You rejoice because your name's written in heaven. You're saved. Your name's in the Lamb's book of life. And when you die, you're going to heaven. That's Jesus said. That's what you ought to rejoice about. That's what you ought to get excited about. That's what you ought never to give over. Here's the strange things to me. Strange things to me. There's people that believe that you gotta work to keep your salvation. There's people that believe that if you don't hang on to it, you're gonna lose it. And yet those are the people, most of the time, that are more excited about what they have in Jesus Christ than us who know that we got it and we're never going to lose it because it was given to us by God and there's nothing that we can do to lose it. We ought to be excited, we ought to get excited, and we ought to stay excited about being saved. We read that verse in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We ought never to lose sight of that our salvation is so great. So great that the only word that God could use to describe it, Brother Leroy, is that little word called so. And when God has to describe something that's indescribable, that's the word he uses. Our salvation is so great. Why would we ever get over it? Why would we ever take it for granted? Sometimes sin gets in the way. It's what happened to David. He committed that sin with Bathsheba, killed Uriah, and committed adultery, committed murder. And you read Psalm 51. David, for a while, forgot about what it was to be saved. He forgot about what he had in his salvation and his relationship with the Lord. And you read Psalm 51. You read that prayer where David asks God for forgiveness. And he says, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I don't want to get over what I got in you. I don't want to lose what I have in you. Sometimes sin causes us to do that. But thank God we can come to him, ask for forgiveness, and pray like David did. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And he'll give it back to us. Sometimes we get over salvation out of pure neglect. We just quit thinking about how good God is. We quit thinking about what he did for us when he saved us. We quit thinking about what he saved us from. Listen, we were headed for hell. We had no hope. We were going to a Christless eternity. And we were saved by the blood of the Lamb. And now we're on our way to heaven. Why would we ever get over that? Why? Don't get over it. Number two. Don't get over our Savior. Don't get over him. Peter writes, talking to Christians, he's talking about Jesus, and he said this, unto you, therefore, he is precious. Oh, our Savior is precious. More precious than any wealth this world has to offer. Our Savior is precious. You know, the Bible uses marriage to depict, picture our relationship with Christ. Christ is the groom. We, as a church, is his bride. And you think about what mankind has done to marriage and how it's messed up the picture that God paints for us of the relationship that he wants us to have. I was talking to used to be a young man, not so much a young man anymore, in his late 30s. And he was having some trouble in his marriage. And it was a couple I married I don't know, 15 years ago. And he was telling me all the problems they were having. And I said, hey, just a minute. I remember when you two first got married. I can remember. You remember when you got married? He said, well, yeah, I sort of remember. I said, when you got married, I remember you telling me that she was a princess. I remember that you treated her like fine crystal because you didn't want anything to happen. I remember you told me that if it came down to it, you'd be willing to die for her. I said, what happened? And he used these words. He used these very words. He said, I got over it. I said, you dummy, that you're not supposed to get over it. Listen, why do you think Clyde and Frieda remain married for 60 years? Why do you think Paul and Wida are going to celebrate their 60th anniversary this year? Why do you think Wayne and Carol have been married as long as, how long you two, Carol, how many years? How many? 64. Amen. Why do you think that they've stayed together? I'll tell you why. Because these guys never got over the fact that their wife said yes when they proposed. Amen. And they still can't believe that they still love them. I sometimes wonder about that myself. But anyhow, they never got over it. They never got over it. you ask them. Now, Brother Paul, may it take him a while to say it, but he'll eventually say it. God gave me my wife. God gave me Frieda. God gave me Wida. God gave me Carol. She was a gift from God. And God was so good to me when he brought us together. God was so good to me when he caused her to say yes. God was so good to me that she still loves me. They never got over it. And that's the way we ought to be about our Savior. We ought never to get over our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I got to catch up to where I am. Where am I? The Bible says that his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Bible says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In John chapter 6, Jesus had preached a hard sermon that contained hard truth. And the Bible says that many of his followers turned away. They made the decision to quit following him. And Jesus turned to the 12 and he says, "Are you going to go away also? Are you going to forsake me also?" And Peter, as the spokesman for the group, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? What Peter was saying, Lord, I don't want to go back to the way it was before. I don't want to go back to what I had before. I didn't have nothing before. I didn't have anything until you came into my life and I received you as my Savior. I can remember when I first got saved. I've shared my testimony. I won't tonight for sake of time. But I can remember when I first got saved, when I would hear that little song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Just, yes, Jesus loves me. I couldn't help, I was like Brother Dan, I couldn't help but weep. Jesus loved me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I don't want to ever get over the fact that the Son of God, the perfect, sinless, righteous Son of God, loved a sinner like me. Don't get over the Savior. And then number three, don't get over people getting saved. Don't get over people coming to Christ. A couple of weeks, the last week, I mentioned it last week, but the last week of April, 2 weeks from tonight, we will celebrate 30 years together as pastor and people. I preached my first sermon at Fellowship Baptist Church the last Sunday of April in 1987. It was August the 26th in 87. Now, by the way, if you've been here and you've been counting, tonight is my 3,690th sermon that I have preached in this place, okay? I keep track of them. And the first sermon I preached for this church when I came that last Sunday in April was the first sermon that I ever preached, the first sermon I preached after God called me to preach. I first preached it on a Sunday night in October of 1970. I was 19 years old. I was going to GMI in my second year of GMI. It was a time, and GMI is Kettering now, in case you're not familiar with it. So I was going to school up here, but I was still going home every weekend. I had a girlfriend at home, so I went home every weekend. That girlfriend became my wife, by the way. And that was the time when God was dealing with me about what he wanted me to do with my life. I can remember, it was the Sunday before, and so it was the 18th of October, 1970. I was at home, I was in my home church. I was singing in the choir. So I've been singing in the choir for a long time, and I don't profess to have a good voice, I just like to make a joyful sound. So we were singing the opening song in the church service on Sunday morning. And I don't even remember the song we were singing, but I remember we got about halfway through it, and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt what God wanted me to do with my life. He called me to preach. Well, I didn't wait. I didn't wait till the song was over. I just put my book down. I walked to my pastor was sitting right over there. I went over and I said, "Brother Roberts, I know." And it was his name was Edgar Roberts. He was my grandparents' pastor. He married my mom and dad. He was my pastor for a long time. I told him, I said, "Brother Roberts, God's calling me to preach. I know it. There's no doubt in my mind he wants me to be a preacher." And he let the choir song get over, but then he stopped the service, and he told everybody what I had just told him. And after the service, that Sunday morning service, he said, "Okay, God's called you to preach. You'll preach for me next Sunday night." I said, "Okay." I did. I preached a sermon called Other Little Ships. Some of you, if you've been around for a while, have heard that sermon. When I first preached it, it only lasts 10 minutes. I can make it last for an hour and a half now. doesn't have any more truth that when I first preach, it just takes me longer to share that truth. So I preached it the following Sunday night. It was October the 25th, 1970, the evening service at Glen Eden Baptist Church, Taylor, Michigan. I preached about other little ships from Mark, about the other little ships that tried to follow Jesus, and they got lost in the storm and had to turn back. I preached my 10 minutes, and I gave an invitation. A little 11-year-old girl walked the aisle, got saved. I had to go back to college that night, so I was driving up 75, and I got to thinking about what had happened. I had to stop at a rest area and just have a Pentecostal fit, Brother Rain. I couldn't help it. I just had to get out and walk around and praise God for what had happened. Every time I hear a report like Garrett gave me a minute ago, I just rejoice. I don't want to ever get over being excited about people getting saved. The Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents and comes to Christ. Can you imagine the celebration they had this afternoon? Huh? Amen. Amen. Don't ever get over it. I mean, you can make this application in a lot of different areas of life. If you're married, don't ever get over the fact that you're married. Don't take each other for granted. You are God's gift to one another. Men, you ought to be grateful that she said yes. I still wonder about some of you why she did, but don't ever get over it. And let's not ever get over being saved. Let's not ever get over our Savior. And let's not ever get over getting other people saved. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this simple reminder from your word what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. How shall we escape? I know probably all of us tonight are Christians. There's been a time in our life where we realized we were sinners and we came to the cross and we asked Jesus to be our Savior. We celebrate the risen Savior today and know that our hope for eternity is because Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He rose. That's at the right hand. Your right hand tonight, our advocate in heaven. And we look forward to that time when we can join him. But Father, I pray that the time you give us while we have left down here, that we'd never get over what we have. We'd stay enthused and we'd stay excited about what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I do pray if there's even just one here tonight that doesn't know what we have in Christ, they're still in their sin, that Holy Spirit, you would convict them of that sin. You would show them the condemnation they are under, and show them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by him. And in a second, when we stand and sing an invitation song, I pray they'd make that decision to receive Christ, and then they'd come and share it with us. So, Father, please bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.